Good morning, everyone, and I too want to welcome the visitors here. And seeing Tylen was here, so welcome here. It's a beautiful day. I really like this weather, and it makes me think about camping. So I want to go camping. And if I had known that this schedule was mixed up, I'd have probably been camping somewhere this weekend. But I'll have to fuss at Jason about that, I guess. So for a message, I want to look at in the book of Daniel. And my wife asked me if I figured out what I was going to preach on. I said, well, I think I'm going to preach on Daniel. And she kind of looked at me, and I said, well, yeah, I'm going to read it front to back real slow twice, and then I'm going to sit down. And but that wasn't what she was concerned about. I'm not going to do that this morning. I think she was worried about the prophecy end of it. So, and I'm not going to get into the prophecy. So I'm not too prophecy oriented. I'm more or less am one of them that you need to be ready to meet God, and how prophecy falls around you is how it falls. So the first four chapters is what I want to look at. So Daniel was actually considered a prophet. It calls him a prophet in Matthew 24, verse 15. And it's kind of interesting. His story or time frame was basically 75 years, from 605 B.C. through 530 B.C., and that would have been all the way even past chapter 4. And I'm not going to do a lot of reading. I'll just basically want to go through this, and I'll read some of it. So in the first chapter of Daniel, it tells us that, it'd be in verse 3 and 4 there, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, after overthrowing Jerusalem, he said to bring back all the unblemished, best, wisest young men to serve in the king's palace. And I didn't realize this before looking into this, that the Babylonians did this to a lot of places. They was a force to be reckoned with. When they come out, gave up practically. And so they would go, when they went to a place to conquer it, they pretty much conquered it every time. And they had this deal. They would get the best, wisest young men, take the strongest with them, and leave the weak behind to just live in peace however they could. That's what they did. And they did it multiple times. And this kept a steady stream of wisdom and a talent flowing into Babylon. And it's pretty smart, actually. I didn't realize that. But back to Daniel, in verse 8, it says, Daniel 1, verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And so what I want to think about is Daniel's purpose. He purposed in his heart to stay committed to God. And I don't know for sure. Maybe so. I'm not sure what they was under at that time, but I don't know for sure if it would have been wrong for him to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. I don't know that that would have necessarily been technically wrong for him, and yet he drew the line that he wasn't going to be caught up in Babylon's way of life, the lifestyle, and be tempted away from God, to fall away from God, and which is exactly what the king of Babylon wanted. They would bring these men in, feed them their meat and their wine, and give them Babylon names, and they wanted them to forget about their past. They wanted them to become a part of them. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to do this. And so, thinking about that, and thinking about today, so Daniel, he resolved to follow God, and it's what kept him faithful. And if we today if we want to live, and I think we all do, we want to live for God. We want to live godly. We want to be in God's will. And that's what we want. But that alone will not keep you faithful to God. And if you don't decide, if I don't decide, like Daniel, ahead of time to be faithful, if I don't resolve ahead of a temptation, because the devil's going to bring temptation to you, you're going to face them. And if you don't, if you're not committed before, you're probably not going to make it through that temptation. That is something Daniel had figured out at a young age. He purposed in his heart. Another thing I noticed here in verse 9, it says how God, it was God that brought Daniel into favor with the prince. And so we see that when we follow after God, he will work things out for us. And just like Daniel and his friends looking healthier on vegetables and water than on the meat and the wine, it didn't really make sense. And when the king talked with them and spoke with them, they was 10 times smarter than all the other wise men in the kingdom. And so God was working, and that's what God does when we commit to him, and then when we decide to follow him, decide ahead of time, not just wishing won't get you there. You have to make a choice. In chapter 2, one night the king woke out of his sleep because of a dream that troubled his spirit. And he called all his wise men and his smart people to get this interpreted. And I don't know why he didn't think about Daniel and them. If they was 10 times smarter, you would think this would have really stuck out in his mind. But he called these other, maybe he considered Daniel a magician at this point or something. I'm not sure. So anyway, the wise man the king called in had a problem. The king had forgotten what dream he had dreamed. And since they was magicians, the king was like, well, this isn't a problem. These wise magicians, they can tell me what my dream was that I forgot and interpret it. And this wasn't what they was looking for. They wanted the gifts and everything the king was going to give them from interpreting the dream, and they was wise enough that they could come up with some kind of interpretation as long as they knew what the dream was. But they couldn't come up with a dream that the king had forgot. And so this wasn't good. And he accused them of lying. He was catching on to maybe how they was working, how maybe they wasn't as wise as he thought. And so they couldn't tell him. And these wise men, they kept trying to buy more time. And they said, you know, tell us the dream so we can tell you what it is. They did. It was twice. And the king was figuring out that these wise men were about as useless as just regular old people in this case. And so they was telling the king that there's nobody on earth that can do this. There's nobody that can do this. And what verse it is there. The king got very angry at this point, and he was going to just wipe them all out. He was going to kill every wise man in his whole kingdom, including Daniel and his friends. And when Daniel heard about this, he asked for some more time. This is still in chapter 2. He asked for some more time, and then Daniel, he said he could interpret the dream for the king. He told his boss this before he knew what the dream was. Well, then he went home to his friends, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went home to them three friends, and he told them that we need to pray about this, and we need to seek God's will in this so we can know what the dream is, so that our lives aren't snuffed out like the rest of these was going to be. And so they worked out this problem together. And so thinking about that, I know I'm probably coming at this a little bit different than when you think about Daniel, you think about the fiery furnace and all that. But I would like to think about Daniel. You know, he was kind of the leader, but when he ran into a problem, he went to his friends and he talked to them about it. And they collectively, kind of like what Cletus was sharing this morning, they collectively prayed to God and they worked together. There's strength in numbers, and we need each other. And so do we take our impossibles to our brothers and sisters? Because we need them. God is blessed when his children pray to him and search for answers together. In chapter 2, here, verse 27 to 30, I'll just read that. So, well, I'll back up a little bit. So they prayed, and God revealed, back here in verse 19 of chapter 2, God revealed the secret to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel blessed God. And goes on there, and then in verse 27 to 30, I'll read 27 to 30. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." And so what I want to think about in Daniel on this here is that he made it very clear to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, that this credit was to go to God. You know, he had the dream, and he could have took the credit. And I'm pretty sure Daniel knew that the king was going to honor whoever gave him the interpretation to his dream. He was going to be promoted. But Daniel made sure that God got the credit. And do we make sure God gets the credit where he needs to get credit? And so you can remember back from the beginning, there at the start, Daniel's had decided to follow God, and no doubt he recognized God's blessing on his life from that, and that helped him. He remembered that, and that helped him and his friends. At the end of chapter 2, Daniel, he told the king his dream, interpreted it for him, and Daniel was promoted in a big way. He was made ruler over the whole province of Babylon, in verse 48. So Daniel could have felt pretty accomplished, pretty big. He was in a major position in the kingdom. He could have forgot all about his three friends real easy, because he had control over a lot of stuff. He had a lot under him, but he remembered his friends, and he requested that they could help him in his responsibilities. And so that says something, you know. He remembered his fellow believers. He wanted them to be blessed too. And so I think he understood what God was doing in his life. I think that says a whole lot about Daniel's character. So when God blesses his people today, I think it will, in some way or another, affect and bless other believers. I think that will be that way when God blesses His people and they're living for Him. In chapter 3, back in chapter 2, verse 47, Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized Daniel's God, and he said as much. That he fell on his face and worshiped Daniel. This was in 46, 47. The king answered Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret." So he recognized who God was at the end of chapter 2. Well, I don't know how long it was. I should have looked into that. But in chapter 3, it goes right into the thought that, let me find my notes here. I might be getting, yep. So in chapter 3, after Daniel's interpretation of his dream, he recognized God. He goes out and builds this huge golden image and commands that everybody worship it. And it's like he forgot what God just did to him. And God had spoken to him, you know, you might say pretty plainly. And yet he forgot what he had just heard. He went out and built this great big image. And we know the story of the fiery furnace and how that went. I'm not going to go through that story. But the king ran up against a power that he wasn't used to again. He couldn't take someone's life like he was used to doing. He couldn't do it. And God was working on him. At the end of chapter 3, the king once again admitted to, let's see if I got that verse. Well, it started at verse 28, where he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so he recognized again that this God, their God, was a powerful God. And he admitted this, and he put in place protection for anybody that wanted to worship this God, basically, is what he did. And so he didn't worship God, but he was backing off of him. He was making room for him. And so in thinking about that, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I was thinking about Daniel and their relationship, putting that over to today. So Daniel was a good influence on his friends, I think, and they was all a good influence on each other. Daniel was kind of a leader, and I don't know, as they wouldn't have been true to God without Daniel, but they influenced each other, and I would say probably Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all together, you know, encouraged each other when they faced that furnace. And so that was something we can learn from Daniel and his friends, that they was a good influence. Are we a good influence where we need to be to our friends? So the first three verses in chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar made sure everybody knew about the greatness of this new God. And I'll read them first three verses there. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So he started out this chapter making sure everybody knew how great this God was. And then it goes to verse 4. And he was sleeping in his house again, flourishing in his palace. I don't know what all that means. But he had whatever he wanted in life. And he had another dream. And again, he called his wise men. And I would have thought by this time he'd have probably just went straight to Daniel because his wise men had failed. But I guess he was feeding them and keeping them up. And I don't know if they was on a salary or what, but he probably a little small part of him wanted them to be able to interpret this for him. So after running through all his wise men again, they couldn't interpret the dream. He was down to Daniel, and it sounded like he was pretty sure that Daniel was going to be able to handle this. He was confident that Daniel could pull this off. And so why he didn't call him first, you know, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe he secretly kind of wanted some kind of strength to come from his wise men. So thinking about Nebuchadnezzar, do we wait until we're out of our resources to take our problem to God? Do we wait till we're through with whatever we got to throw at life's problems and then we go to God? Is that what we do? Are we a lot different than King Nebuchadnezzar in that? So after Daniel heard this dream, he was worried because this was not a good dream at all. And a big change was coming. And Daniel's boss, the greatest of all Babylonian kings, was going to be turned out to pasture. And he was going to eat grass instead of steak. And it's easy to see how this troubled Daniel. He didn't want to break this news to the king. And it said a whole hour went by there, and the king, you know, he was still confident. He wanted this dream interpreted, but he was confident that everything would be okay. And he told Daniel, you know, don't let this bother you. Just tell me the dream. And nothing too bad's going to happen. So Daniel, he interpreted the dream for the king, and he begged the king to change his ways. And so Daniel, he must have forgiven the king of any wrong the king had done him, or he was worried for the king. He didn't want this to happen to the king. And he begged the king to change his ways so that this would not happen to him. And So after this, it went for 12 months, like for a whole year. The king could think about this, and I don't know, I'm sure he thought about it for the first while quite a bit. And for a whole year, nothing happened. And I guess Nebuchadnezzar thought, well, there's nothing going to happen anymore. So he didn't change anything. And verse 28 and 29. It's at the end of the 12 months. The king, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And so in pride, the king proclaimed the greatness of what he had done, what he had built. And we know the rest of the story. He ran into Daniel's God again. And this time, God didn't let up on him until he praised and honored God. In verse 37, this was after he was out running around like a wild animal. Verse 37, the last verse in the chapter. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And so God didn't quit on him this time. He had gave him those other chances, and he waited till Nebuchadnezzar praised him for who he was. And so I was thinking about this, and I know we all always consider Nebuchadnezzar to be a bad man, and I think he was. But what about us today? Is God trying to get our attention? And I think God does try to get our attention sometimes. But are we willing to acknowledge God and yet turn around and say, I've got up early for years and made wise choices, and since I have done this, my place is paid for and my business is gaining? Do we say stuff like that ever? Maybe in reference to somebody that doesn't do quite that and they don't have quite as much, or how, you know. Sometimes it gets pretty close home. In America, working hard and making wise choices usually turns into success. But in America, working hard and making wise choices only turns into success if God sees fit to let this happen. And God can take your success away today in America just as easy as he did in Babylon. And so, it was just something I was challenged with. We can do what we want, but God is the one that blesses us. And we dare never forget that. And that's all I had today, thinking of Daniel and his purpose to live for God and his three friends, and thinking of the king and recognizing God but not worshiping God, refusing to worship God, taking the credit for what he had to himself. Let's stand for prayer.